the Bible. It's much more than a book. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
How can I cleanse my way? I'm trying to be this person. I want to be this. Let God's word transform you. How can you cleanse your way? How can you get on the right track? Through the sound doctrine of God's word. Sound doctrine can transform a young man's life into a pattern of good works. Rather than being a statistic, he can be a standard for others.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
This is The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Today we continue Pastor Al's new series in Titus, titled Setting Things in Order. When people look at you and observe the way you live your life, do they see someone who glorifies God? Do they see someone who puts the needs of others ahead of their own? Pastor Al is going to give some very direct advice to us today concerning the way we act and the way our actions affect those around us. Join us in Titus chapter 2 for a message titled Sound Doctrine.
The church should come and submit under Christ, under his protection, under his provision, under his nurturing care. So when it says, wives, submit to your husbands, that means God is saying submit for your benefit, not for your belittlement. It should be a benefit to you that man is there to protect you. He's there to provide for you. You don't want to be married to no slacker. He's there also to nurture you and to care for you. I didn't say he was perfect, but that's his role. That's what the covering means. Not there to belittle you or he's better than you. No, but to support you. And so when he says, wives, submit to your husbands, this is what the context that he's speaking in. The motivation behind Paul's exhortation here is this. He says that the word of God, the latter part of verse 5, may not be blasphemed. Why would he say that? Because Satan is still seducing Eve. And it starts a lot with younger women. I'm not saying men are exempt, but we're talking about the younger women right here. I was reading where divorce rates are higher among couples in their 20s. And we understand that because you're young and you're learning. And, you know, when the thrill is gone. Thrill is gone, baby. The thrill's gone. The honeymoon period's over and reality sets in. Amen. But infidelity, having said that, infidelity is not just a male problem. I know women are quick to say men are dogs. Well, some women got a little dog in them too. In fact, according to the Institute for Family Studies, married adults ages 18 to 29 that women are slightly more likely than men to be guilty of infidelity. Okay, I'll give you the percentages. Women are at 11%, men are at 10%. Not much, but it's interesting. It seemed like women would be half, but actually over. The Bible says in Proverbs, and so the point I'm making, not to beat up on young women, just say, you watch out, that the enemy is still trying to seduce Eve. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1 reminds us as a warning. It says that the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. You can pull it down by believing the lies of the enemy, by starting to complain and be dissatisfied. And, oh, that guy at work, he's always saying all the right things. Yeah? Well, he's after something. Sound doctrine, God's word, calls younger Christian women, I believe, to look deeper than just themselves, to discover what true beauty is really all about in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We live in a world that your beauty's only skin deep. What we see in the mirror, what's on the television screen, God says, no, look deeper. You're a woman here, a young woman here today, whether you're married or not, listen, look deeper. Jesus is calling you as a follower of his to look deeper. And Peter put it so well when he said in 1 Peter chapter 3, do not let your adornment be merely outward. I love that. Peter says, don't let it be merely. He didn't say, don't have any outward adornment. He said, don't let it just be merely outward. In other words, the old saying goes, if the barn needs a coat of paint, paint it. Amen. Took you a while. There's nothing wrong with outward adornment. He goes on to say, arranging the hair and wearing gold or putting on fine apparel. Don't let just that be your adornment. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Don't let the world define you. Define your word through the world around you and yourself through the sound doctrine of God's word. Know what God has said about you, that you're beautiful in his sight. How many young people committing suicide and all this because they believe the lie rather than the truth of sound doctrine, God's word. You're beautiful, wonderfully and beautifully made and precious in his sight, young ladies. Well, let's move on because we've got some more ground to cover here. And we now, in verse 6, we get to the knuckleheads. Young men, likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, dating relationships, jobs, sports, whatever. Be sober-minded, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity. In sound doctrine, showing yourself to have integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That one who is an opponent, your enemy, may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Amen. So young men, he says, first and foremost, there are basically five ways that the sound doctrine impacts a young man's life. Number one, he says, it sobers up his mind. He's sober-minded, just like the older men being sober, but it goes for the young man as well. Be sober-minded, and again, it means to be moderate, to be sane, amen. And I thought that's awesome, you know. Young men need to be sane because I remember some of the insane stuff I did when I was a young man. Amen. So God's word to give you a sober mind, it make you sane. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. How can I cleanse my way? I'm trying to be this person. I want to be this. Let God's word transform you. How can you cleanse your way? How can you get on the right track? Through the sound doctrine of God's word. Sound doctrine can transform a young man's life into a pattern of good works. I love that. A pattern of good works. Rather than being a statistic, he can be a standard for others. And Paul exhorts young Timothy in the book of Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy. He exhorts Timothy, he says, let no one despise your youth. You're a young man, but let no one despise your youth. You can be an example to all, for all people too, for all people. Let no one despise your youth, young man. God has called you to lead a life, and we come to the second thing here of integrity. Integrity is important. Young men, have your ear. Will you say amen? Oh, some of y'all were sneaking in on the young man thing. I don't know if it... Let me put an age on that. 30 and under. Amen. No. But you young men, listen, integrity is important. You know why? Because integrity is who you are. You see, all you got is you. And if you don't have that, you have nothing. Regardless of what the world is saying, integrity is important. It's Billy Graham who said it this way. He said, and I quote, and it's not on the screen, but listen carefully. Integrity is the glue that holds our way of life together. We must constantly strive to keep our integrity intact. When wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost, all is lost. When your character is lost, when your integrity, who you are, people don't trust anymore. Integrity is important. The third way that, or way that sound doctrine impacts a young man's life is reverence. You mentioned that with older men and the older women. It's reverence. And here the word reverence simply means honor. What a beautiful thing to see a stately young man who has honor. Honor looks good on a young man. A man of honor. The fourth thing is incorruptibility. He can't be corrupted. Incorruptibility. Literally, it's living like the risen dead, and I would say opposed to living like the living dead. Living like the risen dead through faith in a risen Savior. Your life should look like you're going to heaven. Your life as a young man should look like heaven is your home, not the earth. Your life as a young man should look like you're the child of a king. Regal royalty is what God has called you to. To live a life that is the risen dead. To live like you're risen from the dead, not like you're still dead.
That's quite a challenge in the world we live in, isn't it? Pastor Al will be back with more encouragement to live a godly life in just a few moments. As we course our way through the year 2022, there are a lot of uncertainties. If there's one thing that needs to be consistent, it's the broadcasting of sound Bible teaching, like you hear every day on The Dwelling Place. We need your financial support to continue this radio ministry. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now here's Pastor Al with the second half of today's message and a few words about words.
The fifth thing here he says that he would also have sound speech, healthy speech, you could say. And it's interesting that this is important, and that when he speaks, he has sound speech, because nobody questions him. Why? Because of the previous things we looked at, his life backs up his words. So even when his enemies, his opponents come against him, they will be ashamed because what they're saying, people go, that's not the guy I know. Because your life of integrity, incorruptibility, of reverence backs up the words that you speak. It's a beautiful thing. Well, let's move on. As Paul says, speaking again, the context is sound doctrine. He's saying, you know, sound doctrine also impacts our vocation. As we see here in verses 9 and 10, in our closing verses, he says, exhort bondservants, modern day vernacular, could be employees, to be obedient to their own masters, their own employers, to be well pleasing in all things, amen, not answering back. Got attitude on the job. But I love Jesus. No, you don't. Amen. You need to repent. Not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. A couple of things there. God our Savior. Jesus indeed, it was God in the flesh. God our Savior. That's one point. The other point is that your life will either adorn the gospel or cause people to scorn the gospel. The gospel adorns us. It changes us. Amen. Then my life ought to adorn the message that I'm speaking. Ought to adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make it so that it is attractive and people go, you know what? I want what you got. Amen. That's a life of sound doctrine. But I want to point out here that he says that it should not be a life of pilfering. That's an interesting word. Pilfering. What does that mean? It's pilfering in my translation, New King James Version. It means you should not embezzle. It can also mean purloin. Purloin means to steal. You're not stealing. You say, well, I've never embezzled money from work. Well, embezzlement doesn't just deal with money. It deals with anything that belongs to your employer. like his time. So if you're supposed to take a half an hour lunch and you're coming back an hour later because everybody else is doing it, you're embezzling. If you're taking home materials that you haven't paid for, but, you know, I didn't get a raise this year, so I'm going to take all that home with me, you're embezzling. You're stealing. If you're on his clock, then you need to be there for the 8 hours, not 7 and a half. Amen. If indeed my life is based on sound doctrine, if indeed Christ is the one that I want to glorify, because the reality is that my employer doesn't employ me, Jesus does. Would you cheat Jesus on the time clock? Would you steal from the Lord? Do not pilfer. So what's the antidote to pilfering? Well, it is good fidelity. Good fidelity. The Greek word for good fidelity means honorable conviction of the truth. In other words, I'm going to do what is of truth regardless of whether or not I can get away with it. I have conviction by the Holy Ghost living within me to do the right thing. How can I say that I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm being led to embezzle? Because Jesus is not leading me to that. Now I'm walking in the flesh rather than in the spirit. And the Bible says, walk in the spirit, that you do not gratify the desires of the flesh. No pilfering, but good fidelity, conviction of the truth. We can adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ, of God, our Savior. In conclusion, Paul warned in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. Here's what he said. He warned us of the times in which we now live. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That's exactly what we see in the Lutheran church in America. Instead of turning aside the fables, they've abandoned the truth in ordaining those who are not qualified to be ordained. Now, some people hear me preaching this, and I ain't coming back. He's a hater. That's a hateful pastor. We're just supposed to love everybody. Yeah, we do. We love everybody. But speak the truth in love. So I'm going to tell you the truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul dealt with the church at that time that was not living according to sound doctrine. They were just loving everybody. In fact, they embraced a guy in their church who married his father's wife. And they thought, you know, we're just tolerant, man. We just love everybody. Boy, aren't we wonderful people? And Paul said, don't think you're being tolerant, being wonderful. You're sinning against God. In fact, you need to let this guy feel the impact of his sin, the fact that he's not walking in sound doctrine, by turning him over to Satan, that his flesh may be destroyed, that his soul might be saved, that he might come to the end of his flesh, that he might see that he's an heir and return to Jesus. That's what he's saying. Oh, that's harsh. And Paul goes on to say, listen, I'm not talking about the world. Paul says, I'm not talking about people in the world. He said, if we separate ourselves from people who are sexually immoral, we have to leave the planet. But Jesus died for the world, and we need to reach those people. But he who calls himself a Christian and who lives openly, outwardly, unrepentantly in sexual immorality, you need to turn him over to the devil and disfellowship him from yourself from him. That's what he says. Now, we don't do that, practice that a lot in the church today, but I want you to know what the Word of God says and God's attitude toward that. If you're not living according to sound doctrine, because I have dealt with people in the church over the many years, not just in this church, but I was in other churches before, in another church before, so I've been in ministry for many, many years, but I've seen guys in the church who are in the church scoping out the single sisters to seduce them, and they're going through the church. I've seen it and had to confront somebody like that and run off. You get out of here. Because you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. You're not living according to something. You're just supposed to love me. Get out of here. Turning you over to the devil so that your flesh may be destroyed, that your soul may be saved. Because the way you're acting right now, you're not even saved. I don't know what kind of Jesus you're talking about, but that's not the Jesus I follow. And don't call yourself a Christian and be living in open sexual immorality. Now, I'm just telling you what the scripture says. And Paul rebuked the church for that. He says, I'm talking about Christians, not the world. Christians, those who name themselves Christians, do not be deceived. Sound doctrine is what we need today within the church. But the time will come, Paul says, they will not take heed to sound doctrine. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the church. Sound doctrine, another thing, sound doctrine, God's word, stabilizes our lives in unstable times. We need sound doctrine. Lord, we need your word in these unstable times. The Greek word for sound is the word hugiaino, is the way it's pronounced. The Y is a U, but anyway, it's Greek. So, but it means to be well, uncorrupt, safe, whole. And I thought, what soul doesn't want that? Whether your thing is drugs or cocaine or whatever it is, or you know, sexual promiscuity or power or riches, everybody wants to be whole and they want to be safe. But here's the reality. There's no safe place. There's no way you can be made whole apart from Jesus Christ, apart from giving your life to him. And until then, your soul will not be sound. It will be troubled, and you'll find no rest. Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, that is burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Rest for your souls. I always know that I'm out of sync with the Lord when I find myself under all the weight and pressure of the ministry. Oh, no, this is, I can't, you know. It's like the Lord's, whose yoke are you wearing? That doesn't look like the one I gave you. Why are you so burdened down and pressured? Your back's all out of joint. And you know, it's always because I've forgotten that my rest is in him. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Sound doctrine, I should say, equals a sound life in Christ.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman and a message from Al's series through the book of Acts. You can listen to today's message again, watch the video version, or download an MP3 with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al with you wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I'd also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us for another study in Acts next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.